You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, and it has to be done, even though it's cold as a mug in the Midwest and in the East, you're going to do it. Hell, it's cold here. So it's east of the Mississippi, it's cold. Man, yeah, I tell you, climate change is real. Yeah, well, it's real cold, but whatever you say, climate change, global warming, what's up with that? No, it's the fact that you messed up the ecological balance in the climate, and as a result, you have climate extremes. Extremes cold, extreme hot, all kinds of stuff like that. So, but hey, get it done, family. That's right. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you can't listen to the program live, you can go to archives for previously recorded and dated and titled programs at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green line with African Imposed and click on that and follow that, and you can check out previously recorded programs. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC. And that's on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. Today is Friday. Well, if the day is Friday, and when it becomes 8 p.m. Eastern, it'll be time for an awakening. That's right, time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard this tonight at 8 p.m. Tomorrow, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832, where you can call and give us your questions, comments, opinions, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective on whatever the issue is and whatever is being discussed. Give us your perspective. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Check them out online. If you're in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where they're selling laundry detergent, soaps, razors, toothbrushes. All products are produced by us. And go check it out. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayembe is ready to take another group of us to the motherland. Take another group of us to Ghana. to deal with the issue of repatriation and investment. All of those good things. So be a part of that. Give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Go on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, and check out the plan for the May 2019 African tour. If you want to see tour photos, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And you can check that out. Books. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End and here in Atlanta. They have books. They have much, much more than books. They have furniture. They have clothing. They have artwork, artifacts, the red, black, and green shoes, Kwanzaa kits, you name it. They even have a museum, a Holocaust museum, African Holocaust Museum. And the phone number for the shrine is 404-549-8678. And they're located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End here in Atlanta. Also, too, they have a class on Saturdays tomorrow. On Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30, 2 hours, open to the public, free and open to the public, is Black History Class, Know Thyself. Brother Olatunji is the instructor in the class, does an outstanding job. Check it out if you're in the Shrine of the Black Madonna, 9 on Ralph David Abernathy. And also, too, if you can't do the class but you want the material, well, they got you covered. They got the Black History Club presents the Black History Multimedia Library, a digital resource of over 100,000 files, the most extensive cultural library of its kind, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. Now, currently at 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment, and that could be yours. And so you can check that out. Another bookstore is in the Greenbrier Mall. It's that Meddu bookstore. Meddu means writing. The next word is netcher, Meddu netcher, which the Greeks called hieroglyphs. Hieroglyphs. The Kemetic word is Meddu netcher, writing of the gods. And the Meddu bookstore, if you go there and they don't have the book that you're looking for, they'll make sure they'll find it for you. They'll get it for you. So check them out. Another bookstore, and I just was there yesterday, and that is the Black Dot. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Brother Kahimzi Ajamu. Brother Kazindi. And he's located in Lithonia, 6884 on Main Street in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. In fact, I got the white ones, the UNIAs. That's right. I'm going to try my best to keep them nice and white. Yeah, the UNIAs. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Or as we like to say, cooperative economics or family-centered economics. They're broadcast on Thursday nights on Blog Talk Radio. Number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. on Thursdays. Check out Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Go to the website, usliftingus.com. Become a member. Become a contributing member. Support Us Lifting Us. We pull our money together because that is what time it is. In fact, we pull our money together and we created a cafe because we are coffee. Coffee originated with us in Ethiopia. So we have a coffee. We have an internet cafe located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, right off of I-7585 and Georgia 166. As soon as you get off of I-70 and go on to Georgia 166, the exit, the Sylvan Road exit, bam, get off there, and you're right there at Cafe Ulu. And we're open Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. As I said, coffee originated in Africa, in Ethiopia, but we also have Cameroon Bojo, which is my favorite coffee. Tanzanian, Kenya, other coffees from around the world, from Brazil, from Panama, from Nicaragua, from Papua New Guinea. So we have coffee. And everything that we sell at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. all the pastries, the wraps, the veggie wraps, the salads, everything is produced by us. The potato chips, Symphony Potato Chips by a brother and his two daughters. So it's all us because it's us lifting us. We also have a drink, a vitality drink, in Ambrosia, developed by Brother Novak Young. Ambrosia, which is all drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar and chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe, cayenne, and spirulina. Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia. Akabin, Akabin House, Brother Baba Rudy and Sister Yaba Rudy. February 2nd, she has a program for sisters only. Mama Yaba Rudy discusses navigating the challenges of African womanhood. They'll be featuring yoga with Mama Yami and a sister circle. That is Saturday, February 2nd from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Wadada Health Market and Juice Bar, 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Check that out, sisters. And then the big day, Saturday, March 2nd, at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta, just east of the West End, so to speak, is the Akabin Institute and House's 20th anniversary celebration. Must be supported, and I pledge to support them, that's for sure. That is for sure. Today is the 25th of January. I'm going to read from Inye Sesam. Yesterday's and today's daily revolutionary thoughts. January 24th. Each generation must assume the responsibility of securing their manhood, their womanhood, the definition of their being on earth, that is, in the final analysis, nationhood. Dr. John Henry Clark. Freedom, a self-determining dynamic power, is a permanent responsibility. It requires constant care and attention. It must be guarded for the entirety of its existence. This fact is what makes our quest to ensure our liberation endless. We will never stop except we stop. If we stop, our liberation will be lost, possibly forever. There is nothing in the universe which says a people who become willfully enslaved cannot remain so until they are genocidally removed from existence. And one generation cannot guarantee its progeny, its liberation. It can provide the wisdom and means to gain or sustain liberation, but it cannot force a generation to want to be free through its own volition. An adult cannot be made to stand by his or her parents. Affirm, I assume responsibility for our freedom. Affirm, I assume responsibility for our freedom. January 25th. When a man decides to do something, he must know first why he is doing it, and then he must proceed with his actions without having doubts or remorse about them. When Asafu decided to be warriors, there could be no question as to what they are doing, why they are doing it, who it will negatively impact relative to the positive effects on African people, or how long it will take to defeat the enemy. Warriors must know why they are doing what they are doing in order to give them their best effort. It must come from the heart, or their efforts will suffer tremendously. No one knows when this war will end. It will end when it is done. And that is when African people are liberated from the shackles of others' oppressive thoughts and actions. So it is not the warrior's place to decide when to stop fighting. It is the warrior's job to battle until it is done, whenever that is. There is no room for questions about the possibilities of success, considerations or regret about what life might have been like if a lesser path had been maintained or taken, or concern over lives taken on the battlefield. Such questions automatically become irrelevant the moment a warrior decides to crush evil and place the destiny of his or her spirit in the hands of divinity. Affirm, I proceed without doubt or remorse. Affirm, I proceed without doubt or remorse. Daily Revolutionary Thoughts of NSAY Say Some. It is Friday, and I mentioned that I was going to talk about European Jews and the reason why. The reason why is because European Jews have such a strong hold on the world. European Jews are Ashkenazi Jews who are the late converts to Judaism, but yet they dominate and control Judaism. And all the other groups, and there are other groups, there are Sephardic Jews and, you know, Falsa Jews. The Falsa Jews could be argued that they were the first Hebrews, the Jews, particularly in East Africa, the Falsa Jews. The Sephardic Jews of North Africa and the western part of Asia, ironically kicked out of Europe the same time they kicked the Moors out. The Moors had been there 700 years. The only light that was going on in Europe at the time. The Ashkenazi Jews argued that they were the late converts to Judaism, but they are now the ones who dominate and control Judaism. They are the ones who, that's why Judaism has a Caucasian face to it, you know. And what must be understood, just like Catholicism, just like Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, Episcopalians, just like Shiites, Sunni, Hanafi, Ahmadi, all of them are divisions of religion. It is a perception that Jews are a nationality or even a distinct race. That's why people say it the way they do. That's why Caucasians who are Jewish make that pronouncement. Because they'll make that pronouncement even before the nation where they're originated. They could have came from England, Germany, wherever, but they'll say, I'm Jewish. You don't hear Baptists saying, I'm Baptist, or he's a Baptist, or he's Episcopalian, or he's a Seventh-day Adventist, or he's a, you know, Nor Arabs or Muslims. Muslims number into the over a billion, just like Christians. Jews, unfortunately, don't. Because of the three main religions, or the Hamoratic religions, the religions from Abraham, and that's how these three religions became founded within the context of a overall global theology. Started with Abraham. Now understand something, and I'm, you know, there's such debate whether any of these things that appear in the Bible are historic. Of course, I'm one who believes they are not historic. That the things that happen, they say happen in the Bible, the people in the Bible, the European names of the people in the Bible, because they were not those names, could not have been those names historically. Did they exist? Is it real history? Is the Bible real history? Is the Bible a real history book? I remember when I was going to school, I went to a Lutheran college, and we had to deal with the Bible, and basically because of the conflicts and the arguments that could be made or discussions that could be made, we simply looked at the Bible as literature, not the stories themselves, not the context of it, not the historical facts or significance, if there were any to be argued. No, just the literature of it, as reading the Bible as literature. Because for me, I maintain that these stories are not historical, and they've been crafted and to give groups of people an advantage over humanity. Now, you know, the European Jews and supposedly the Jewish people say we are chosen. We are chosen by God. And covenants were made by God to the Jewish people. The argument could be made that these were the Fausta Jews, the Fausta Jews, the Eastern African Jews, Jews near Ethiopia and so forth, who some believe that the Ark of the Covenant that God made with the Jewish people or the Hebrews is there in Ethiopia. The argument also, too, that Jesus Christ or Yeshua was born in a cave in Ethiopia and not in the manger in Bethlehem. Once again, the conflicts in these stories, you know, there's a lot of debate. But the problem is that when you have a book that has been translated as multiple times that it has been, and people put into it what they feel is most important for them, it's automatically argumentative. It almost begs that divine intervention happen. And damn, we need some divine intervention right about now. Boy. That so that humanity can clearly understand if there is a supreme being that has ordained the situation that we have here on earth. So instead of us at each other's throat, instead of us undermining and manipulating and destroying the land, the air, the water, people, because that is what has happened. That is what has happened. And the people who have taken religion, you know, you have two proselytizing religions. That means these religions, their express purpose is to spread this information, is to impose this information onto other people and to make them believe that what you have and what you're bringing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you if you don't believe it. Because that's what happened. That's what happened with Christianity, and that's what happened with Islam. The two main proselytizing religions. And, of course, their connection is Judaism through Abraham. How has that happened? Well, Abraham was favored by God, and that's where the him being who he was, that's the Jewish part of it, and his descendants. Well, obviously the direct descendant supposedly is Ishmael, who was Abraham's son through his wife Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. Sarah was barren. Now, of course, in the Bible, people live a long time and miracles happen. And that's what I'm saying to me, man. God, we are in so desperate need of a miracle. It is unbelievable if there is divine intervention. But anyway, so God tells Abraham to have intimate relationships with Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. Child is born, then there's some conflict. So God makes a change. God says to Sarah that you will give birth. Of course, you know, I'm showing up paraphrasing. This is definitely not the these, thous, and those, and thus. Getting right to the point. So they said to Hagar, we're going to disband you. We're going to kick you out of the camp because you're going to cause some conflict with your child being here and so forth. There's going to be some issues. So they sent her off, and in her being put off, she was in an oasis, and God said, from him, there'll be a mighty nation. And so therefore, the Islam has its origin. They believe their origin is Ishmael. And from Ishmael, the Islamic religion springs. So it's not Arab. It's not even a nation, because there's Muslims around the world in many countries. Obviously, the spread of Islam, you know, when Prophet Muhammad, see, you're talking about something that happened then, and then in 325, excuse me, in 625, or in the 7th century after the birth of Christ. So you're talking about literally thousands of years comes the advent of Islam through Allah or God speaking to Muhammad. Muhammad was a merchant. He would load his camels up from this place and march them across the desert and sell his wares there, and load his camel up from that place and march him across the desert and sell his wares over there. And in the interim, while marching across the desert, Allah, God, intervened. There's only one miracle that I know of in the religion of Islam. If there's others, please give me a call or just inform me, text me, whatever. And that is when Allah, God, told Prophet Muhammad to read, because he wasn't reading nothing. He didn't need to read. Didn't need to count his money. Here's the product. Here's this, and this is what it's going to cost. We can bargain or barter, whatever. That's what he did. And so he was told to read. He said, I cannot read. He said, read. And he began to read. And as he became more filled with that knowledge, he was instructed and he recited the Quran to these scribes, and they wrote the Quran, the holy book, the holy Quran. And that's the side that comes from Abraham through Ishmael. Sarah has a child, and it is Isaac. It is Isaac. And God wanted to test Abraham and told him to make a sacrifice. Go up to that altar and make a sacrifice. Well, Isaac thought it was going to be, you know, a lamb or something like that. He didn't know it was going to be him, you know. And so at the moment that he was about to do it, God said, I was testing you, man. You passed that test, guy. You listened to my instructions. Well, I told you to bring him up there, sit him down, and, you know, sacrifice him. And you was going to do it, so, hey, you all right with me, you know. So there is Isaac. Isaac marries. He has twins, Jacob and Esau. And through that line, you get the Jewish and you get the Christian. Through that line. Not through Esau, but through Jacob. In fact, if you know that story between Jacob and Esau, and Jacob, you know, Jacob means the supplanter, the underminer. And that's what he did to Esau. In fact, I don't remember her name. Not Rachel. Was it Rachel? No, I don't remember. His mama. His mama said, listen, your daddy going blind. He's about to die. He wants to go ahead and give the birthright and the blessing to the oldest, which is your brother Esau. And Isaac liked Esau. He was a mighty hunter. You know, in fact, he told Esau to come here and says, hey, go out there and make that savory stew that I like, because I'm going to give you the blessing. And so she told Jacob, said, hey, let's cook this up. We got a little bit right here right now. Let's cook this up. I'm going to put this, because he was very hairy. He
He's like probably big, a lot of hair all over him. He says, I'm going to put this on you, you know, because he's blind. He don't know. You can give him the. So he walked in there. He gave him the food. He said, this is very good. Come closer. He says, and he was speaking to him. He says, you know, there's the voice of Jacob, but it's the feel and the hair of Esau. And it's the savory stew that I like. So I'm giving you the blessing. Well, when Esau came back and he had it and he presented, says, what are you talking about? I just did this. I guess you were just here. I just ate that. No, that wasn't me. This is Esau. Then he said, oh, Jacob. So the mama who put him up to this said, hey, you're going to have to get up out of here. And so he breaks camp. And on his way to, I think, his uncle. And he falls asleep. And he has this dream climbing Jacob's ladder on a rock, which they called Bethel. That rock was his pillow, supposedly. And he had this dream, and he's battling this angel. And I think he breaks his ankle. I don't know, something like. But anyway, he defeats the ankle, and then they say, no longer will your name be Jacob. Your name will be Israel. Your name will be Israel. And, of course, from him, from Jacob, comes a person, one of the sons, who is tied to the house of David, who's tied to Christianity, to Jesus. And that's how that whole three of them come together and verge. So those are the three main religions. But there are other religions. You know, probably one of my favorite pieces of Ziggeis is talking about the formation of these three religions and how they formed and how it is that is an older religion, part of the ancient Kemetic religion of Aser, Aset, and Heru, and of Amun and Amun-Ra. What this religion states is, in fact, based upon information that is thousands of years before them. Probably one of the most egregious things to me in the biblical sense, to me, and I mentioned this to my brother. My brother is a theologian. He's not a real theologian, but I say that he's a theologian only because he's been a student of the Bible all of his adult life. Even as a late teens when he first started to get into the church, and knows the Bible back and forth and forth and back. You know, but one of the things I said to him that is most, to me, egregious, and of course there's nothing egregious in the Bible that God has done. The Bible is the infallible word of God. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But it is the Noah story. You know, sin is running rampant on earth. And it's just going crazy, you know, since Adam and Eve. And, of course, Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain kills Abel with the jealousy of his gift to God. And, you know, Cain goes into the land of Nod and gets a wife and all this kind of stuff, da-da-da-da. And then there becomes Noah. And God was looking for a righteous man because sin had multiplied and was rampant and felt that Noah was that righteous man. And God tells Noah, hey, Noah, what? This is God. Whoa, what's up, God? Hey, listen, dude, y'all acting a damn fool. I'm going to cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights and just wash all of y'all out. So I want you to do this. I want you to build an ark. Well, what's an ark? A big ass boat. But there's no water near here. I just told you I was going to make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. There'll be plenty of water. You build the ark by this. This is out of the dimensions. And at the appropriate time, when you open that ark up, animals, two by two, male and female, birds, whatever, that is going to be on the planet are going to be in, because I'm going to destroy the whole planet. And I'm going to destroy that. And so you get your three sons and your wife and three sons and their three wives into that ark at that time, and Okay, cool. So it happens, and people, of course, would say, this is a fool. This cat's a fool. But then, of course, just as God said, it starts to rain, and it rains 40 days and 40 nights, and Noah's in there, and, you know, him and his wife, and their three sons, and their three wives, and so forth and so on. And so to see what how bad it was, because, in fact, they say that he was out there almost a year before the water receded. The water had to go somewhere, right? Before the water receded and the ark lands on land in the Middle East there near Mount Ararat, supposedly. And everybody disembarks. But in fact, prior to that, while it's still out there, he threw a raven out there, a raven out there to see what's happening. Don't come back. Then he threw a dove out there. When he threw the dove out there, the dove comes back with an olive branch. An olive branch means there's peace. Peace in the land. And so the animals disembark and they go their way to where they're supposed to be going to populate the earth, you know, and then Noah and his three sons. And so Noah builds a vineyard and he gets drunk. You know, you get a vineyard, you got grapes and you can, you know, squash them and ferment them and that kind of thing. You had wine, you got drunk. And so his son Ham sees his father naked because it's probably hot out and he's drunk. But doesn't cover his father's nakedness and says to his brother, hey, man, dad is just drunk, dude. He's a stupid out there laying his ass out, you know. And so the brothers walk backwards and clothe their father's, cover their father's nakedness. And so when he gets up from his drunken stupor, he finds out what happened. And he says to Noah, I'm going to curse you black and to be servants unto your brother. Now, Noah, and when that happened to Noah, and he cursed, you know, Ham, and the descendants of Ham is Canaan. The land of Canaan is where Israel is. The other two brothers, Shem, probably in the Middle East, they say Shem is, you know, Indo-European, and of course, Japheth is the European. So that's how the three got there, the three so-called races. And so, from Canaan and from Ham is Nimrod. Nimrod is a mighty hunter, mighty warrior. Now, obviously, when Noah, his three sons and their three wives, when they populate, the language has to be the same. I can't understand why they would male and female together, and they're together. Their language has to be the same. So everybody's language was the same. But when Nimrod built this tower, and then he, with his bow and arrow, throws it up into the sky, and then God strikes down on them and confounds their tongue. And I'm thinking to myself, and I approached my brother with it. I said, you know, probably the best thing that we as human beings can do is to be able to communicate with one another, to be able to have an understanding, to be able to come up with some consensus or some kind of agreement to communicate with one another. But no, God confounds their tongue. When that happens, everybody's like, I don't understand, you know, and they go their ways. There's a lot of stuff that is in the Bible, that these stories, these fairy tales and these stories that give you pause, that they just could not be real. They could not happen that way. But yet we believe them. We believe them. We believe because we've been trained to believe. And also, too, you have to understand the saying is that everything in the Bible is true. Everything in the Bible is historical and factual, you know. And for those of us who don't believe that, that's kind of problematic. Because, you know, there's a thing about I'll find it here. That is very interesting, which is the definition of stupid. Knowing the truth, seeing the evidence of the truth, but still believing the lie. Knowing the truth, seeing the evidence of the truth, because in order for you to know that truth, you have to, that truth has to be imparted, and you have to see the truth of it. But then once you say, well, even though I don't believe it, you still believe the lie. It's just like having this discussion with a young man, with me and my good friend, Brother Kwaku, back in Milwaukee a few years ago at Coffee Makes You Black. And he was working for Republican senator, Republican U.S. senator, and he's Christian. And I said to him, you know what, it comes down to this, because me, him, and another brother, we were throwing out some good jewels. I said, I know what it is for Christians. You rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because if it is true, you're going to hell. You're going to burn in hell. And so therefore, you don't want that. I got a caller. Good morning, caller 602. 602, go ahead.
Good morning, Brother Orsi.
Good morning, Brother Marcus. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, good brother. I like this topic here.
It's a tough one, man. This is a tough topic. Yes. I'm messing with the sky, Daddy.
It's all BS, though, brother. It's all, Dr. Ben came out and said, look, this book is all allegory.
That's
and
right.
Mythology.
That's right.
It's not real. Yeah. It's not. And if anybody have any free critical thought, analyze it, they realize it don't make any sense.
Yeah.
These things don't make any sense. The way it seems, it looks like God is a dictator. God don't believe in democracy because, when Satan was up there with God, Lucifer, he was the right hand of God, according to what the book say. So Satan said to God, God, well, look, God, I want to run this show a little bit, I want to be in charge a little bit. God said, no, you can't run the show. I'm God. I will always be God. It ain't gonna be no power sharing, The devil wanted to exercise his civil rights, but God believes in those civil rights, They fought and everything, and God cast him out of heaven and said it's not here. Now look, you read the book of Genesis. We're just talking on Dr. Tuesday night, Black Reality Think Tank.
Yes.
And we're talking about the book of Genesis and how the book is written. That God creates the earth, creates male and female of his species.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets to man, he only creates Adam. Right? He only creates Adam. He didn't create a woman for Adam initially,
Right.
You see? So, evidently, Adam had to have more morals than God because, God wanted Adam to cohabit to the animals, So, again, the story don't make any sense.
Well, no, it doesn't. But it's allegory. Just like you said, it's allegorical. It's mythology,
Yes, it's allegory and mythology. It don't make any sense. Even that story you talk about there with Noah,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because included in that story, Ham was cursed.
Yeah.
You see, and Ham is supposed to be the progenitor of black people.
Right. So we're cursed. That's what they want to say.
Yes.
And I hate that fact that people believe that we are cursed. Many of us believe, because if you believe in the Bible, then you believe we are cursed. That was brought out. Listen to this. That was brought out by a number of people that I listened to today. Minister Farrakhan believes that. That was brought out like, wow, you believe, we really believe. Yeah. But if you're a Muslim, If you're a Christian, if you're a Hebrew or a Jew, that is part of their theology.
Yes.
So they believe that we are cursed. And if you get a hold of the Jewish Talmud, you can read how deeply that curse is and how grotesque it is, what they believe about us. That's why I'm saying that this whole religious thing and the people who call themselves Jews, particularly the ones of today, the European Jews, the ones that dominate and control Judaism, sure to hell, as far as I'm concerned, cannot be God's people. If it is not the God of love and compassion and understanding that people pray. No, there's got to be a God of mischief, a God of merriment, a God of division, a God of hate.
So, according to what I heard it is them that wrote that book, the Jew. He's the one who wrote that, especially that Old Testament, and wrote themselves in as the chosen of God. So if I'm writing the book, I can write anything in the book, you see?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That's what they do. And black people believe that foolishness.
That's right.
They say, yes, those are chosen people of God.
Well, see, you see, if you are a Christian, within the book, the Bible, the first five books of the Bible, the Testament, is the books of Moses, the Old Testament, and other books of Old Testament. But the New Testament is the new covenant that God now has because of Jesus with the world. See? And so people believe that covenant is there, is that, and what it is that you are a sinner. You're a sinner. And so because you're a sinner, there's nothing you can do about that. The only thing you can do for salvation, the only thing that will do to save you, is you believe in Jesus. You believe that Jesus is God. He died for your sins, you know. And if you do that, then you will go to heaven.
Well, it tells you, it says you are born in sin.
Right.
And you say it in iniquity. So ain't no salvation for you. You say that unless you accept their way. You are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So you're born bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's foolishness. And every little, that's why we have this problem in the black community, because every little corner you go, there is a church.
Yeah.
Every little nook and cranny is a church. And what's happening in black community? Crime is flying off the chain. You know, and that is kind of, in fact, the more churches is the more crime.
Yeah.
Look at
Catholicism. Look at Catholicism, where Christianity springs from. Look at it today. Look at it for the last few hundred years, how it has abused people, particularly youth. Pedophilia, serious in the Catholic Church. And not just the young boys by men, because, you know, some men say, well, I have a religious calling. You know, damn religious calling. You a damn pedophile, and you would have access to young boys, and to such degree that it would be unprosecuted or unexposed.
Yeah, well, you know, religion has kept us as a people in a frozen psychological state, and as you say, you know, it keeps us looking for divine intervention.
Right.
Oh, it's going to be divine. Ain't nobody coming back to save nobody.
Well,
you got to save yourself.
You got to save yourself. But see, our problem is that when you believe in things, here's the good words of that great visionary, Brother Marcus, that great visionary, Stevie Wonder. That great visionary, Stevie Wonder, says, when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we have been led to believe in some things that we truly don't understand or comprehend, and we have been a suffering people because of it. Now, I'm not going to argue with somebody who believes so seriously within that Christian religion that it has been good for them, because I maintain that Christian religion is not a collective religion for African people. It is an individualistic religion. That's why people could talk about, well, you know, I'm saved and highly favored. I'm saved. All around you is going to hell. Your family's going to hell. Your conditions, but yet you believe that you are blessed and you are, you know, saved. I'm saved. There were, let me say this, because at one time, you know, there was many Christians who their belief is that they must support Israel because it's in the Bible. You must support them.
Yep.
And so there was a belief that when Israel become a state, when they would gather again and become a state or a people, 40 years after that will be the tribulation, the rapture. All kinds of calamities will happen on earth. And the Christians who believe that, they will be raptured up into heaven, you know, while all these plagues going to be. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Look, it's like when I'm close with this. When Mao Zedong came to power, they had the Chinese Revolution.
That's right. He did two
all
things.
All the demons, all the preachers, all those people,
yep.
He put them in the dungeon.
That's right. Look, he got rid of all the... That's right. He got rid of the religious people and the lawyers.
Yeah, he said, when God come, he's going to sign their release. And you know what happened to them.
That's right.
Never come.
That's right.
Still in prison. So, you know, jealousy, ignorance, and superstition is the order of the day in the black
community. Yeah.
Anyway, good brother.
Thank you, my brother. Have a blessed weekend, Marcus. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Good brother.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we will continue with the subject. I hope you can join me. The number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Give me a call. Let's talk about this. I know it's a tough subject. It is a very difficult subject for many of our people to deal with, but let's try to deal with it. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on Time for an Awakening. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media. Part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Oh.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That's Johnny Kemp. Just got paid. It's Friday night, y'all. Hope you have a good, safe night and hope you get a chance to do what you like to do. This is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs on Time for the Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore is Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. On Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then on Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking about a subject that is very difficult, and a lot of times people don't want to talk about it. And, in fact, you're really discouraged and really forbidden to talk about it in the way that I'm talking about it. Because how I'm talking about it is trying to look at it objectively and historically. I'm trying to bring, because see, a lot of times when you have other people who have the, who may be theological students who believe that the Bible is the truth, who believe that what the Jewish people or the Hebrews experience is truth,
You know, they want to believe that, you know. And but yet, just like when you watch the Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, PBS, or whatever, when they talk about biblical stuff, they say we believe because they know that there's not the evidence to prove it historically. Like they're looking for Noah's Ark, you know, they're looking for this, that, or the other that is biblical, and it's not there. We believe. You know, what's interesting about ancient Kemet, which happened 5,000 years ago, because when you put 3,000 in now the year that supposedly of Jesus' birth, because it's like the calendar. They say this is the year 2019 by the Gregorian calendar and previously the Julian calendar, whatever, the European. It's 2019. But by the Kemetic calendar, this is the year 6,258, roughly. Reason why I'm saying 58 is as opposed to 59, because this is the, you know, 2019, is because the year began in September or October, something in September. That was their beginning year. Maybe that was when they had in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, around that time, that is the harvest time. So when things bring forth. So just like other parts in springtime, in terms of the calendar, when things are brought forth, when things are brought forth, it's a new year. But in this calendar, this Gregorian calendar, this is the new year in January in the Northern Hemisphere when it's cold and there's no life and it's dead. So, well, you see what I mean. But the Jews or the Hebrews, when you get to this chronology of their coming into being, as I mentioned, the stories of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the story of Abraham and the three religions of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and how those things evolved and so forth. And then, of course, Moses, all the metaphors and the allegory of Moses, and how he was in the house of Egypt, and when he was found out that he was not a member of the house of Egypt, but he was a Hebrew of those who were enslaved. Now, we all know historically that didn't happen. There was no Exodus. They've gone over this. They've gone over it. The biblical scholars and so forth, they had to relent. They had to agree, no, the Exodus did not happen. And I've said this many times, although the Exodus from the Bible did not happen, but we need an Exodus as African people from this madness. We need an Exodus from all kinds of contact of Europeans and those who are outside of us. We need to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves from the continent outward. Not here, but from the continent outward. You know, so they have these stories that put themselves into a position to rule based upon these stories. You know, so supposedly when they were dispersed. Now, the Ashkenazi, there's three types of Jews, maybe more. I don't know. Somebody help me out. There's Falsa Jews, which people believe are the original Jews or the Hebrews. Their lineage goes way back. Some have traced it all the way back to East Africa, even into South Africa. Then the Sephardic Jews who went across the north of Africa into Spain, same time the Moors did, and they coexisted with the Moors were the only light going on in Europe for over 700 years. And, of course, they were expelled in 1492 or somewhere around that time, or 15 or something. The Jews were and the Moors were. And then even before then, were the conversion of Jews to the Ashkenazi, the Ashkenazi Jews, the Eastern European Jews. They are the ones who dominate and control Judaism to this day. They're European Jews, and they are the ones who control what's happening in Judaism. You know, and because of, once again, those who are Christian, it can contain within the Bible and it contain within Christianity. Now, I know there was someone could make the argument about the persecution of Jews by Catholics, but you will not see any persecution of Jews by evangelicals or other Christians, Baptists and so forth, because in the Bible it instructs you that there will be favor for those who support and help Israel. And so the big protectorate of the Jews has been Western society. They assisted once the Jews were being persecuted. And I don't care if it was 6 million or six. It's all evil. It's all wrong. I'm not denying the European Holocaust or Shoah. Because, see, that word has been synonymous with what happened to the European Jews in Poland, in France, in Germany. And so if one is killed, that's egregious, let alone 6 million. I'm not going to argue that. But what I am going to state is that they were looking for now a homeland. These late converts to Judaism, Ashkenazi, have no biological genetic DNA link to that part of the world. But yet, when they were talking about a homeland for them and going through their persecution, you know, well, they were saying, well, the Germans did it. Why don't y'all come together and give them Germany? No, that wasn't going to work. They ain't going to give them Germany. They even talked about going to Uganda, giving a homeland. But of course, United States and Britain and the League of Nations before the UN said, no, we'll give you Palestine. And of course, the Middle East was in an uproar. In fact, Ibn Saud, who was the leader of Saudi Arabia, and I believe he said this to Truman, because that's when the Jewish state came into existence, 1948. You know, he said, you know, why don't you give him Germany? He said, nah. And he told me, he says, you know, I don't have an Arab constituency, you know, but I have a hell of a Jewish constituency. And so regardless of what y'all saying, we're going to give them Palestine and start to marginalize and remove Palestinian people. And then when that mark came in 1948, those of the religious right and those who are in the conservative religion or belief in Christianity believe that for 40 years, after the 40 years, there would be that rapture that, you know, 1948 to 1988. And there was all kinds of stuff out there I remember distinctly. There were many people who believed that that's when the world will suffer these calamities. That's when the apocalypse, the book of Revelations, were going to come into being. You know, and Nostradamus even had some junk out there about when it's supposed to happen. And so I got a caller. 646, go ahead. 646, good afternoon.
What's happening, Brother O.C.? I see you.
I know. I'm talking about the sky, Daddy.
People about the Jew.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Jews and talking about the sky, Daddy. I know, brother, but hey, sometimes we need to talk about that because to me, that is a hindrance of our people.
No question.
You know?
No question. I mean, the bottom line is you could learn some things from that Jew. You could learn from the Jew how to treat your enemy. I mean, that's the thing that one should be able to take into account is how the white man has allowed the Jew to become the central attraction of a piece of our continent and basically control it. I mean, these are things that we have to look at. You have to look at how they have systematically oppressed the Palestinian people.
Mm-hmm.
The manner in which they have done it in such a short period of time, if you think about it. And you also have to look at how the Palestinians are not giving up, that they're continuously fighting to the death.
As
so
they
there's
should.
Always lessons to be learned from every situation.
Right.
Now, as far as Sky Daddyism, that right there is a conflict on man's inability to be brainwashed. You know, because religion, to me, is nothing but a form of brainwashing.
Okay.
Because whenever you can do something to justify illicit and bad behavior and the people go along with it and really don't question it, when there's information out there to use to be questioned with, then you brainwash. Something's wrong with you. Because if you look at anything...
I just mentioned it a while ago, Jay. I just mentioned a while ago that is the definition of stupid. You know, knowing the truth, seeing the truth, but yet still believing the lie. The information is there.
You know, that's the thing that makes someone that's a good brainwasher and someone that's able to hypnotize the people. This is what they get because most honestly, Negroes are hypnotized on religion.
Yeah,
because you would have to be hypnotized and brainwashed to believe in it. You know what I mean? And just like you used that beautiful quote by, you know, my main man, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is all of these things are just a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't realize that we're being controlled and put into a box to keep us from moving forward. You know what I mean?
Because religion
is the biggest joke on the world.
Right, because the whole purpose of it is to control you, to make you think that there's something outside of you. And so therefore, in this religion, your lot is determined. Only thing you could do is pray to God that when you die, you go to heaven. So don't fight for it. Be blessed. In fact, what it does, particularly Christian religion, it speaks to you individually. It doesn't speak to us as African people collectively. That's why I have an issue with Black liberation theology. I don't think that the Black liberation theology, because it is based in Christian, can free us as a people.
But you know, the question that I've always asked is, if there is a heaven and a hell, why haven't nobody came back and told us?
Well,
I mean, think about it. Yeah. Why has nobody ever came back and told us that there is a books. Heaven or a hell?
Right. Well, there is books. There is books, you know, that people.
Oh, come on, man.
No. Jay, listen to me. I'm sorry, but listen. There are books of people who have had near-death experiences saying they went to heaven, they saw this, that, and the other. They went to hell, they saw this, that, and the other. Now, of course, I'm laughing too, you know. But the bottom line is, it is there, whatever it is in their mind, but it has no truth in reality. Our problem is...
Mm-hmm. So let me say this. There's a book where somebody described dying and going up to the pearly gates and seeing the no good filthy stinking cracker.
Right.
And the cracker wasn't the first man on the planet.
Right.
Now, that right there would just throw me for a loop. If I know I'm the original man, I'm the one, I would think that the Sky Daddy would make me in his image.
Yeah, well, that's supposed to.
I go up there and I see the Sky Daddy. But then, if I'm a bad person and I go down to the bottom, then I see me. Man, please. Then, you know, it's what you call bullshit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, just But listen, it's been used to control the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You know, I think.
When you talk about the Jew.
Yeah.
When you talk about the Jew, it's amazing how such a small group of people have so much power.
Because the development of their theology and to incorporate their theology into the other two major theologies. Because, see, to be a Jew is a theology, is a train of thought, is it a religion? But because they have, and what they have done, people think that that is a nationality, or people think that is a race.
No,
it's a religion. It's a religion, just like Catholicism, just like Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, Episcopalian, Baptist, Church of God in Christ, Seventh-day Adventist.
It's a religion.
Mormonism. They're all religions. They're all trains of thought or beliefs. And the foundation, Jay, of all that is African. All this theological stuff is African. But yet you deny that.
But
you
then they put whiteness on it.
Exactly.
They choose
Look what happened. All this theology happened, and then the formation of it and turning white was 325 A.D. with Constantine at the Nicene Conference. At the Nicene Conference, the theology became Caucasian, Caucasianized, became white. The angels, the deities, and all of that. The birth of Christ, and all of that.
You know, the amazing thing is, they all talk about going where? To Sky Daddyism. And the thing that always kills me about religion, and I always know it was a joke, and it wasn't for me, is, why is it that the Baptists, the Pentecostal, and the rest of these so-called Jesus-loving Negroes can't come together for the liberation of our people? But they all say that they want to go to Sky Daddyism. They all say that they believe in God. So how could your denomination separate you from the wholeness of yourself and your people? How could you allow a religion to break you apart into different sects that can't get along with one another and won't come together with one another for the best interests of your people? So that right there just goes to show you it's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how could...
But see, that's it. That's the thing, though, Jay.
Let me give you this example. How could a Christian, a Pentecostal, and a Baptist, all black, be in the same room, all looking to go to the same place, Sky Daddyville, and they can't agree on how to get to Sky Daddyville as one.
Yeah.
Based on the tensions of being a religious group.
Just like,
how do you separate?
But see, it's just like that, Jay.
One likes to get up and shout, and one likes to be docile,
right?
And one likes to be whatever. It's bullshit.
But see, it's just like Islam, the different sects of Islam, of Sunni, Hanafi, Ahmadi. You know, there's so many different sects of Islam.
But they all believe in Allah. Mm-hmm. But here it is, y'all all can't get together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke.
And see, to me, Islam is equally as egregious, because here you got Muslims who can agree on stuff, who are being manipulated by European Jews and Christians. This whole thing is a mess for us. And for us as African people, none of these are African religions. We need to step outside of all of that madness. And whatever the best practices for us as African people to move us forward in our...
It damn sure ain't going to be Islam. It damn sure ain't going to be Christianity.
And it's shown the hell ain't going to be Judaism. No.
Judaism. It ain't going to be Buddhism.
Or Hinduism.
It's not going to be none of those religions. Because they're based on lies.
Right.
They're based on
subjugation. Subjugation.
They're based on control.
Yes. See?
They're not based on one important key thing, spirituality.
Yeah. That's why I said that we're a spiritual people.
People don't
not religion.
Understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You could be spiritual and not have any connection whatsoever to religion.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. There's a lot of people who will say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And, you know, because they believe in, let's say, a higher being, a creator, someone who has created the heavens and the earth, but it don't have to be associated with Sky Daddyism. It don't have to be associated with Islam, Judaism, or any of those things. It's just a basic human nature law.
Yeah.
The law, I think it's called the law of reciprocity, I think.
Law of reciprocity. You reap what you sow. What goes around comes around. Being fair and righteous to yourself and everybody around you. And that's something
and that's
that we can happen.
That's the world should be.
That's how it should be, but that's
but
how it has not been.
The world's not like that.
No, it is not. No, it is not.
The world is not like that. The world is anti-reciprocity.
Yeah. And look at who dominates and controls it. Those religions.
Yeah, the white man.
The European Jew is the one who dominates and controls this. He's the one who dominates and controls Islam. I'm going to say it. He's the one who dominates control Catholicism and all the other religions because the European Jew is at the pinnacle. He's the one who's directing stuff. He's the one who's making stuff happen. Although he appears to be, you know, persecuted, subjugated. You got the 6 million Jews who were in the Holocaust. Although the word Holocaust is an English word. That's an English word. But now, because the European Jew have taken that word has been co-opted by them, that when you hear that word, you automatically think of them. But the word in their religion is Shoah, which is also an act of genocide, morally demonstrative against the people, you know, against those people. But they control that. And so since they control that, they also control other things. But one of the things I like to mention that they control is diamonds. People don't understand that. People don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. They control diamonds in the world. They have been doing that for a long time. They have been the greatest diamond cutters and so forth. The greatest diamond, the greatest Israel, since they became a state in 1948, their biggest import is diamonds. Their biggest export next to weaponry is diamonds. There are no diamond mines in Tel Aviv or in Israel. How do they get diamonds? They get diamonds out of Africa. They get diamonds out of South Africa. The De Beers diamond. They get diamonds. Oppenheimer.
But do you know, Oshie, do you know that it's becoming harder and harder for that for them to get diamonds now? Because they done just dug too far that it's not as safe as it used to be to get diamonds. So now they're trying to find other places that that produce diamonds. And I mean, that's going to be, you know, more taking over of those people.
Well, let me say this. You know, Jake.
People don't know that.
Well, let me say this. Diamonds, number one, are not rare. They have been hoarded to make them rare, to give the perception that when you look at this cut diamond and the clarity of it and how it is cut and so forth and, all of the gleam and glitter and bling. You know, why it would cost $4,000, $5,000, $6,000? No, it is not. In fact, the only real use for diamonds is because it is a hard stone. It can cut stone. That's what they use in boring machines to bore out holes and so forth to make tunnels. The tip of the diamond cutting machine is the tip of the boring machine is diamonds. But the fact that they made diamonds rare, they hoard them. So the cost will always be up. And you see in the diamond district. Go ahead.
But what I was saying was, in order to retrieve the diamonds, they're having a harder and harder time because they just have dug too deep to get them. That's what I was saying to you.
Okay. Well, let me say this. And I know that there are still areas where, you know, diamond mining is still going on. And I understand that. In fact, they found some diamonds here in this country, particularly in the middle of the country, in Arkansas and a few other places. They found some diamonds. But But the point I was making about the diamond industry, just like the blood diamonds, I mean, there's a good article, Israel's Greatest Fear is its diamond trade being exposed and how that whole trade came about and how it still is a very evil situation for people in the world because of how they control diamonds in the world. But there's another thing, yeah, too, is that in the state of Israel, how they treat people. And if you've seen that, they are exposing.
Oh,
yeah. They're getting rid of people in
Israel.
Especially
the way they treat the Africans.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, if you want to be honest about it, the Jew is one of the most brutalist,
yeah,
inhumane individuals, yeah, on the planet.
But
they right up there with the white man.
Because they are.
Exception. Yeah, but I'm saying,
yeah,
as far as their brutality and the manner in which they treat human,
yes,
beings,
yes,
I don't even think the world knows it. Because it really hasn't been exposed
level
that it should be. But they some dirty, dirty dogs.
But because the people of that faith, of the Jewish faith, as it is practiced today, are some people who are dominant and want to control. They're not dominant in terms of numbers, but they're dominant in terms of how they administer their feelings about what their religion is about. See, and so they utilize the Christian religion particularly, you know, and that's why, though, within their religion says if you support Israel, you will be blessed. That's why Christians,
yeah,
you know, do whatever they can, which leads me to this particular piece. This particular piece. Congress is trying to use the spending bill to criminalize boycotts of Israel. This comes from the ACLU. According to recent reports, congressional leaders from both sides of the aisle are planning to sneak a bill criminalizing politically motivated boycotts of Israel into the year-end omnibus spending bill. The bill's original sponsor, Ben Cardin, the Democrat of Maryland, is pushing Democratic leadership to include this bill, which has not moved forward thus far, primarily because it violates the First Amendment. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader, which is now she's the majority leader, she's the speaker, Nancy Pelosi, are reportedly leaning towards slipping the text into the spending bill, which needs to pass for government to stay open. The ACLU has long opposed the Israeli Anti-Boycott Act through its multiple iterations because the bill will make it a crime to participate in political boycotts protected by the First Amendment. Now the bill sponsors are attempting to avoid public scrutiny by including the bill's unconstitutional criminal penalties in a must-pass legislation schedule for a vote just days before Congress was supposed to recess for the holidays, likely because it will be harder to pass in a new Congress, in the Congress that is in existence at this time. But my point being is that they wanted, this is Israel's direction to the United States. Israel. When Brother Paul said England is the head, but the real control is Israel. Israel controlled and had the United States and Britain and the so-called League of Nations come together and say, yes, we'll give you Palestine. No, not Germany.
Yeah.
Not others. We'll give you Palestine. You European Jews who have no direct a biological or DNA connection to that part of the world, but we'll give you that. And then the United States went further. The United States has been bankrolling Israel to billions of taxpayer dollars on an annual basis. Israel has a serious military. In fact, Jay, the police departments, some of the police departments go to Israel or have
Israel to be trained.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
You know, so I'm saying that the influence that they have, and this is a European coordinated effort to subjugate the planet under that dominance because of that.
And to think about it, this is a country that ain't even been 75 years old that's able to have this type of influence or the world. That should tell you something. I mean, you got Negroes deferring to a Jew.
Yeah.
I laugh at them. Anytime a Negro tell me anything about some damn Jew, the first thing I tell him is kiss my behind and get away from me with that nonsense. Because I'm never going to respect Israel over Africa or anything black. They're never going to be my daddy.
But the confusion.
I mean? And I'm not going to capitulate and stand up to the clouds and not call them out for what they are. I'm not going to be a punk like Eric Lamont Hill and the rest of these Negroes who every time you turn around, they kiss the ring of an effing Jew.
Brother Lamont Hill spoke against Israel occupation and in favor of the Palestinian people, and he got fired from CNN. He may even get fired from Temple University. I got to give a lot of love and protection to Tamika Mallory, because she wouldn't give up Farrakhan.
I have to say this. I ain't gonna say anything bad in regards to the way she handled it. I thought she handled it the right way. I mean, I would love to see other black people handle it in the same manner. She didn't capitulate.
Right.
She didn't bow down.
Right.
So I gotta give her credit.
That's why I'm giving her.
There's a lot of people who still take what her behavior was as an example on how they should behave, but I know they won't.
Well, see,
because they don't, it seems, have that type of spine. But like you said, all through this program is, I don't understand why our people even capitulate to them. I don't even pay them no mind, to be honest with you. I see them for what they are, for the murderers.
No, you got I think
inhumane bastards that they are.
The Europeans who dominate and control Judaism have such deep influence. They have a deep influence throughout in entertainment, in business, in media. You know the history. And so what she said is that I'm not going to, you know, throw Louis Farrakhan under the bus. I'm not going to do it. And then this one lady who was interviewing kept saying, does Israel have a right to exist? And she says, all people got a right to exist. See? And see what the interviewer was stating, and because she was emphatic about it, she said, "I'm tired of this question." And then she asked it again: does Israel have a right to exist? She says, "No, all people have a right to exist." Because when you say Israel has a right to exist, that means that you're in favor of the extermination of Palestinian people. You're in favor of the exportation, and you're in favor of the racism that goes on in Israel against African people. Eritrea and Somalia, they told those brothers and sisters, if you don't get out of here by a certain time, I'm gonna imprison you forever. In fact, they were paying some people to find people in Israel who were Africans so they can be kicked out of the country or excommunicated or whatever the hell you want to do. In fact, they told him, here's a window. I'll give you some money. I like $5,000, something like that, for you to get up out of here. You see? And then the Ethiopians that they brought in on the airlifts back about 30, 40 something years ago in the 70s and then again in the 90s, they took these are the Fausa Jews. These are the people who actually can make a claim to real Judaism.
Yeah, the original Jews.
Right, to DNA, the Fausa Jews, Sephardic Jews, and the Ashkenazi. But it's the Ashkenazi who dominated and controlled it. And they said, these Ashkenazi Jews who are dominating and controlling in Israel, that, you know, now we're going to discriminate you. They have snuck birth control in them because they don't want to be overran. They want to kick everybody out. They don't want no darkness in there. Have you seen a commercial? Have you seen a commercial for Israel? To visit Israel? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I haven't seen no people of color in it. I've seen pale-skinned devils.
Right, all. They're Caucasian.
But I know there's dark-skinned
Israelis, of course.
What do you call them? Israelis or
Hebrews. Call them Hebrews. Yeah. Well, you know, there's still that community in Dimona, Israel. You know, they don't mess with them, but they ain't grown. They're just pretty much right there, you know. But the Fausa, But the Eritreans and the Somalians, you know, they are kicking them out of the country, you know. And even the ones who are the Ethiopians, who they airlifted there. In fact, they showed this one brother getting beat up. He was a police officer or soldier. And a police and another person, volunteer, I mean, they showed it on camera. Had it not been for their security camera, you know, then, of course, if it's my word against your word and there's nothing to corroborate your word, my word will hold true, you see.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I got another call. Take this call, 602, Brother Marcus.
Yes, back again, Brother G, Brother Oshie. Just one quick, two quick. I'm doing great, good brother. Two quick things about that Jew. You see, that Jew, you see, he aligned himself with black people, you know, in America as a buffer. You see, that's why he aligned himself with black people in America. He always, because he used us as a buffer between himself and the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. See, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant allow him to run Wall Street. You see, he run the financial system. But if we weren't here, they would, what Hitler did today in Germany, it would look like a Boy Scout, you see? But that's why they keep us here, you know, because it was the Jew that locked Garvey up, you see? It was that Jew. So he keep us as a buffer. And about those diamonds, you see, they're the ones who put the value on the diamond. So he put it on the white woman's funky finger. But they also use that diamond on that space shuttle. You see, when that space shuttle is coming in back into the atmosphere, the bottom of it is coated with diamond. You see, because diamond is the hardest mineral. So they use, so that when that space is coming back in the atmosphere from outer space, you know, it helps to keep that the structure that space shuttle. So they use it in space too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cunning, you know, that's what we don't call it New York. We call it New York. All right.
Hey, Marcus. New York. Marcus, let me ask you a question. You know, you've lived in New York, and you know what the relationship is with New York and the Jew. What is the relationship where you live in at now between the Jew and the people of your city now?
The congressman is a Jew. He's born in a predominantly black district. The congressman is a Jew.
So the Jew is running the show there in Memphis too.
Yeah, he does. Look, when I first moved here, there was an apartment that I moved in. He was the Jew. He was a Jew who bought the apartment building the whole area from Brooklyn.
Is there any place in the U.S. that the Jew don't have influence, Ochi?
No, there's no place. He has an influence everywhere in this country. The European Jew is protected by Christianity. Now, granted, what Marcus was saying from what happened back some time ago when Christian religion believed that Jews were the Christ killers. They killed Christ. They're the ones that fought. They denied him and so forth, even though Jesus Christ was a Jew. You know, he was a practicing Jew. In fact, that's what it was. He was going into Jerusalem because it was supposed to be Passover, whatever, you know. But no, it's like that everywhere. And they had their enclaves. They had particular neighborhoods where they are, particularly the Hasidic Jews, because they have to walk to the synagogue on Saturday, you know. So, we got to understand that this particular dynamic, you know, that these are the Eastern European Jews who have formulated and they have specific orders that they have from who they believe is God to do what they have done. And they dominate and they control Judaism. They dominate and control in the Middle East and in Europe and in this country and in Western society. They dominate and control, you know. And my problem that I have, that I foresee, is that our people go along with this. are people because we believe, because we believe in Christianity, because it says in Christianity that you must, the God will show favor to you if you show favor to the people who he has chosen. And now I look at it this way, Brother Marcus and Brother Jay and listeners. I don't believe God should be choosing no damn body. There is no damn chosen. Because if God did that, if God chose a group of people over all other humanity, you make God a I mean, you know what I'm saying? You make you make God like a mischief maker and a divider, you know? And so then how can you come to a religion? Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
That's manipulation to keep control over another race of people, which, you know, the white man is famous for.
Yeah.
That's how he do his thing. That's and, how we in and, the position
and,
that we in.
And so let me say this.
Manipulated.
Yeah. Let me say this. And to me, when they came up with this damn bill, knowing that you have a First Amendment right, but they came up with a bill that says that you cannot boycott. You have a business, you can't boycott. And if you do boycott, you can be penalized and prosecuted. That's what they were trying to put into that. That you could be penalized and prosecuted if you are showing that you are boycotting Israel or saying bad things against Israel or doing something negative against Israel. That's the kind of serious ass influence that that group of people in that particular theology have on this country and other people.
Okay, so if that's the truth, when they go lock up Louis? when they go put Louis in the pokey? Because he's the most serial so-called anti-Semite in the country, yeah, from what they say. I mean,
no,
they make it seem like he's the only person in the world.
No, they're not going to lock up Louis Farrakhan. No, they're not gonna lock up. No, they're not gonna lock up.
I know Louis they're not gonna lock up.
That's not gonna happen.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So if that's the case,
yeah,
he should be the poster boy.
Right.
Wouldn't you think?
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. But there's some other Christian religions that are adamantly against the Jewish religion because of the perception of them being Christ killers and so forth. But my contention is this. And I know we ain't got that much time. My contention is this, is that we as African people, these religions has been imposed upon us, Christianity and Islam. Now, Judaism is not a proselytizing religion. It's a nationalistic religion. To be a Jew is not a, if you're a Jew, that's a religion. It's not a nationality. It is not a race. And there's no such thing as race. But what Judaism is a train of thought and a religion. And the people who subscribe to that, these are certain tenets within that religion and these stories that they believe to be true. And so because of that, look at what they have done in the image to us. Within that Jewish Talmud and that story of Abraham, that we are cursed and we are to be servants. We are to be servants to all others. Look how they manipulate us. Brother Marcus is right. During the so-called civil rights movement, they were the financiers, just like Black Lives Matter. One of the main contributors is the Jewish dude Soros to Black Lives. Yep. They have always bankrolled some stuff, never been out front in it. But you go out there, you march, you get your head bashed in. We'll give you some money to do it, because once that happens and then the country has a feeling, then they'll break these particular barriers down. I remember a cat was telling me about the Jewish cat who liked golf and he wanted to go play golf. And of course, they found out that he was Jewish, because if he didn't say nothing, he's a Caucasian, another Caucasian. He could have lied and said he was Catholic. But he said he's Jewish. And because of that, they denied him entry or membership into the club. Well, he got together with a whole bunch of other Jewish cats and they bought the club out. you know, they bought them out.
Just to add, you're right, because the Martin Luther King financial advisor was a Jew.
Yes.
Levinson.
Yes.
You see? And while they were telling us to integrate, they were separating. You see, they tell black people, oh, you should integrate, but I never see a Jewish missionary
no.
in my community.
No, Jewish ain't talking about integrate. Let me say this, Jay, because the relationship between us and the Jews that have been here in America, it has been this. They are the merchant. We are the customer. They are the landlord. We are the tenant. They are the worker. We are they are the owner. We are the worker. That has been the relationship. And yes, it's just like the Jews who control, you know, when Spike Lee made Mo Better Blues. And he had those stereotypical characters who were Jewish who owned a record company. And, of course, you can't say shit. I know I don't cuss on the program, but I'm going to just keep it real right now. Against the Jews, they'll make you apologize. Anything that you bring up, they'll make you apologize and bring it to the attention. They did it to Michael Jackson. They did it to Marlon Brando. They did it to Spike Lee. They did it to Marlon Brando.
What did Marlon do?
I don't remember exactly. He said something about him. Maybe he supported something. And then they made him apologize.
But Ochi, I wanted to say this to you right quick. You know, one of my favorite, I must say this, pork chop chicken eating preachers, the Reverend William Barber.
Okay.
He's a good pork chop chicken eating Negro boy. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I enjoy listening to that boy speak.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It could be because we have the same last name and he may be a distant cousin. But every time he starts speaking, he always got to interject this damn Jew, Rabbi Herschel or something like that.
Okay.
Same with Courtney West.
Yeah, all of them. All of them. Jesse,
listen,
the control that they have, Jay, is like, I just mentioned about that bill. I bet you any money, all them congressional black caucus members were going to support that bill because all those cats get money from the Jewish lobby. Yeah. They get money from the Jewish lobby. A lot of them couldn't even deal with it if they couldn't get that money.
Well, you see what they did to Cynthia McKinney.
Yeah, they got her out.
Yeah, they got her. They got her out. I mean, and the thing is, why I love Cynthia so much is she don't back down from him at all.
That's right.
She don't back down from him. You know what she did? She did like I tell my young mentees to do: always be prepared to go someplace else. And what that sister do? She just went to someplace else to handle her business.
There you go. Well, listen, brothers, I appreciate it. I got to enter the program, Brother Marcus. I thank you. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
You see you Monday.
All right. Brothers, have a great weekend. Peace to you. We end this program like we end every program with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, and that's right, the European Jew is contained in that oppressor. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Look what the Jews did with diamonds. Look what they did with diamonds. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia family, you have a blessed and wonderful day, a safe weekend. Peace, family.